Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We delay no longer. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline for the man, the myth, the legend, Tim May. What's up, brother? How are you? Happy holidays.
The stock market's up, I hope, man. I haven't been checking in. We've been in a press conference here at Ohio State, but I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm well, brother. I made it through the holidays alive. That's a win. We had 22 people over at the house, and it only got a little hairy.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of people, no matter what the occasion is. But that gift opening must have gone on for eons.
It took a little bit to get through, and then we had to pick up all the wrapping paper as well, because yeah. You know, we had the gamut, my friend. We started at 101 years old was the lady friend's grandfather. It was 101 wow. years old, all the way down to 7. So wow. we had everybody in between there as well. Good times were had by most.
Now, this is what bugs me is I am closer to the 101-year-old grandfather than I am to the 7-year-old in terms of age. But what did y'all give the 101-year-old grandfather?
Blue sweater. Every year he either asks for a green sweater or a blue sweater. Or you could get him a sweatshirt as well, but it cannot have a hood. It has to be blue or it has to be green.
Wow. That's specific.
101 years on this earth, man. You know what you want.
That's right. Good boy. What's he doing to wear out sweaters? That's what I'd like to know.
I've got no idea.
That's the real the reality TV show I'd watch.
What wears out a sweater?
Yeah.
I'd pay attention to it as well. All right, my friend. So you just got done listening to Ryan Day. What stood out from you from the Ryan Day presser today?
No, it wasn't Ryan Day. It was Jim Knowles and the defensive players. The Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator and players. And obviously, you know, Ohio State had a tough time throttling Oregon the last time. And one of the things they clearly changed up was the way they implemented deployed their safeties from that game, from the way they did in that game and other things. But it's been a different defense, really, which, you know, that was the sixth game of the season. And, of course, this defense has played on another level compared to the way they played in that game. And not that they didn't necessarily play poorly. Poorly is not the right term, because they had a couple of goal line stands in that game that were huge. It's just they let several plays get out the gate, including a really back-breaking 27-yard option keeper by Dylan Gabriel, who can beat you with his feet but prefers not to. But they let him get out of the gate, and that was a huge play to overcome. And so it was really that moment where the defense for Ohio State really flipped, because, you know, Oregon scored 32 points on them. No one else has scored more than 17 on this defense all year. So So that's what stood out more than all, because mainly we were talking to defensive players and about the challenge of containing Dylan Gabriel, but also they got to stop Jordan James, a very talented running back, and then they've got a fleet of receivers that rivals Ohio State's fleet. I don't think it's as good top to bottom, but rivals, you know, Ohio State, and so that will be one of the challenges they face in this rematch. I mean, wow. these guys are playing again. A lot of us thought there was a chance they could play three times this year, regular season, Big Ten championship game, and in the playoff at some level. But it's really kind of a shame that this is, in my opinion, of the teams left, these are the top two teams, but they're playing in the quarterfinals. It is what it is.
Exactly. At least we get to see it. Because Lord knows how many times we have been in this situation, Tim, that we didn't get to see the best two teams go up against each other at any point. But at least we get to see it twice.
Yep. And we're talking about a tournament here, you know. I mean, this is the football version of a tournament, just like the NFL playoffs are. The good thing for Ohio State is he got through that first game with Tennessee with no debilitating injuries. And, you know, everybody, I'm sure, was sore. And it was a pretty hard-hitting game for the most part. But they didn't suffer injuries like Tennessee even did in that game. And the problem with a college football teams playing, in essence, for Ohio State's got to win four straight games against big-time opponents to win the national championship. Really, Oregon does too, because they had to beat Penn State, you know, which is still alive in this tournament. They had to beat Penn State to win the Big Ten championship. So, yeah, they got a bye in the first round, but they will have had to play four postseason games to win it all too. So, whereas Penn State will have to have played five. But the bottom line is, it's deep a roster as Ohio State has, and I think it's the deepest I've ever covered here. I didn't say the players were better than any other players I've ever covered here. Nobody's ever been better than Orlando Pace as an offensive lineman. So I want to make that clear. But from a depth standpoint, it's about as deep as I've ever seen with competent guys with ability to play. But you don't have a waiver wire. And as this season, you know, this is coming knock on wood, New Year's Day extravaganza of four games over 2 days, somebody's probably going to lose a guy and or two. So, you know, we'll see how that affects teams. Like, you can look like the best in the country a week ago, and then suddenly you've lost two guys that really matter, and you're not. So we'll see how it goes.
The legend Tim May joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tim, do you think that the Ohio State team that we saw against Tennessee is the right reflection of the Ohio State team, or is it still that team from Michigan that seemed to have their little bit of hiccups, and even during the season, that offense that occasionally had their hiccups? Have they figured it out, and they're like, what we did against Tennessee, that is the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Yeah, I mean, that's the team you expected to see from the jump this year. And dominant on offense when it has to be. Yeah, every offense has got to hit a little bit of a bump in the road, and they had to hit a little bit of a bump in the road in the second quarter against Tennessee. But, you know, there was a bizarre interception during that, or that bump in the road would have just been cleared by ODOT, you know, to go ahead and drive on. Bottom line is, you know, they had a chance to go up, 28-3 in that game, and then that weird interception happened in the back of the end zone. Should have been pass interference on Tennessee, but that's another story. I mean, this was offense and defense, very talented defense, going against a team. I know SEC people, Southeastern Conference people, want to hear this, a team that beat Alabama. Am I right? Beat Alabama.
How dare you?
And a team that, you know, I don't want to get into that because I get really deep into the quagmire there. And people have to understand, I grew up an Alabama fan way back when. I was born there. You were forced to be.
Exactly.
But the bottom line is, they beat Tennessee, thoroughly. And that's what you expected from this extremely talented team. Will Howard had a tremendous game, even with that, quote, interception, end quote. He had a tremendous game. The defense got after it. It would have been interesting if the roughing the passer call had not been made on Kenyatta Jackson Jr., who was coming off a block and literally had the quarterback in his arms as the quarterback, Nico Iamalieva, let go of the pass. And then Kenyatta Jackson took him to the ground, but even tried to cushion the blow as they fell to the ground. They still called roughing the passer on him. That was tough. And Jim Knowles today just basically, in essence, said in their book, that's not roughing the passer. And we'll go from there. And then I reminded him that that was an ACC crew, refereeing crew, that called that game. And guess what? There's an ACC crew calling this game. So, you know who's calling balls and strikes, right? That's key.
Absolutely.
And what are they calling the ball and where are they calling the strike? But yeah, this team is so much better than it was in the weeks around or after the Oregon game when they got past in a bewildering game, got past Nebraska. But I thought this defense came of age in the fourth quarter against Nebraska and has kept growing since.
Well, and they did. It felt like especially the secondary a little bit and that defensive line more than anything else of Jim Knowles' defense seemed to start being able to get some of that pressure with four. And it was like we finally woke up. We're starting to see the talent that's there. And you started seeing these guys just start playing so much better in that Tennessee game as well, between batting the passes down and just making Nico, and we're going to end there before I embarrass myself too much further.
Iamalieva.
Oh, good.
It took me 2 weeks, remember? Last time I was on,
that's
I couldn't
right.
say it, but I finally mastered it. It's kind of like learning a foreign language, you know, that you're never going to use again.
Well, it's my whole life I've been told if you can't pronounce it, just pronounce every letter and typically you'll be okay.
No, you call him Nico.
Him Nico. Exactly. Well,
Nico and the man.
Nico and the man. Nico and the bunny man. So, anyway, they were able to get to that man, and Jack Sawyer had himself an evening on top of that one. Do you see the same thing taking place against Oregon?
I had no idea because, I thought going into that game against Oregon, they had a little bit of a decent plan, you know, just based on, you know, scuttlebutt, whatever. But what they did was they really left Denzel Burke on an island, as I referred to it. I think on my Tim May show this week when I've got Matt Wilhelm on. You remember Matt Wilhelm?
Yes, I do.
All-American linebacker, Iowa State, national championship linebacker, and played on a Super Bowl winning Green Bay Packer team. But I just bumped fist with Ty Tucker, a legend in his own mind.
Right on.
He's a tennis coach at Ohio State. You know who Ty Tucker is.
I do.
Two things. Denzel was maybe a little too aggressive than he needed to be, and then number two, he had no help over the top, so that exacerbated things. And I think they've really come to grips with that. I mean, you know, Matt Wilhelm was talking about just the level that the defense played on against Tennessee, and really, except for one drive against Michigan, you know, they gave up 13 points. But you know what? When your team scores zero and the other team scores 3 points in the second half, then you get beat, right, when the game was tied at halftime. But the bottom line is this defense is playing on you can see it. It's like I keep saying different level, but everybody's pretty charged up, but they're under control. And when you got two safeties, and really three, counting Jordan Hancock, but when you got two safeties, the caliber of Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom, who are almost erasers out there, from the standpoint of not letting a play turning into a big play, and then sometimes blowing up a play when it looks promising and making it a negative play, you know, you've really got something going on.
All right, you heading to Pasadena, or are you staying home?
My flight leaves at 9:30 tonight, flying to Vegas, and then driving up there tomorrow to Los Angeles. Actually, the media and both teams are headquartered in downtown L.A. for some reason. But that's the way the Rose Bowl has been for a while now.
I'm jealous, buddy. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy the nice weather.
My flight times keep getting updates from the airline about how they keep changing and started at 7 this morning. And we'll see if I actually have a plane to get on to go to California or to go to Las Vegas.
Well, if not, buddy, fire up the Trans Am and get going.
There you go, man.
That's how we do it.
Don't think that has not happened before.
it's a beautiful drive once you get past Kansas.
I used to cover the Bengals and the Browns back in the late 70s, early 80s.
That's
was back when the speed limit was 55.
Oh.
And I told my wife one time I found a new way to go to Cincinnati. She goes, what? I said, 75 miles an hour.
Perfect. All right, brother. Yeah. Happy New Year to you. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure, brother. See you next Friday.
Delay no longer. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline for the man, the myth, the legend, Tim May. What's up, brother? How are you? Happy holidays.
The stock market's up, I hope, man. I haven't been checking in. We've been in a press conference here at Ohio State, but I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm well, brother. I made it through the holidays alive. That's a win. We had 22 people over at the house. and it only got a little hairy.
Wow. That's a lot of people, no matter what the occasion is. But that gift opening must have gone on for eons.
It took a little bit to get through, and then we had to pick up all the wrapping paper as well, because we had the gamut, my friend. We started at 101 years old, was the lady friend's grandfather, was 101 years old, all the way down to 7. So we had everybody in between there as well. Good times were had by most.
Now, this is what bugs me, is I am closer to the 101-year-old grandfather than I am to the 7-year-old in terms of age. But what did y'all give the 101-year-old grandfather?
Blue sweater. Every year he either asks for a green sweater or a blue sweater. Or you could get him a sweatshirt as well, but it cannot have a hood. It has to be blue or it has to be green.
Wow. That's quite specific.
101 years on this earth, man. You know what you want.
That's right. Good boy. What's he doing to wear out sweaters? That's what I'd like to know.
I've got no idea.
That's the real the reality TV show I'd watch.
What wears out a sweater?
Yeah.
I'd pay attention to it as well. All right, my friend. So you just got done listening to Ryan Day. What stood out from you from the Ryan Day presser today?
No, it wasn't Ryan Day. It was Jim Knowles and the defensive players. Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator. And players. And obviously, Ohio State had a tough time throttling Oregon the last time. And one of the things they clearly changed up was the way they implemented, deployed their safeties from that game, from the way they did in that game and other things. But it's been a different defense, really, which, that was the sixth game of the season. And, of course, this defense has played on another level compared to the way they played in that game. And not that they didn't necessarily play poorly. Poorly is not the right term, because they had a couple of goal line stands in that game that were huge. It's just they let several plays get out the gate, including a really back-breaking 27-yard option keeper by Dylan Gabriel, who can beat you with his feet but prefers not to. But they let him get out of the gate, and that was a huge play to overcome. And so it was really that moment where the defense for Ohio State really flipped, because, Oregon scored 32 points on them. No one else has scored more than 17 on this defense all year. So so that's what stood out more than all, because mainly we were talking to defensive players and about the challenge of containing Dylan Gabriel, but also they got to stop Jordan James, their really talented running back. And then they've got a fleet of receivers that rivals Ohio State's fleet. I don't think it's as good top to bottom, but rivals, Ohio State. And so that will be one of the challenges they face in this rematch. I mean, wow, these guys are playing again. A lot of us thought there was a chance they could play three times this year, regular season, Big Ten championship game, and in the playoff at some level. But it's really kind of a shame that this is, in my opinion, of the teams left, these are the top two teams, but they're playing in the quarterfinals. It is what it is.
Exactly. At least we get to see it. Because Lord knows how many times we have been in this situation, Tim, that we didn't get to see the best two teams go up against each other at any point. But at least we get to see it twice.
Yep. And we're talking about a tournament here, I mean, this is the football version of a tournament, just like the NFL playoffs are. The good thing for Ohio State is he got through that first game with Tennessee with no debilitating injuries. And, everybody, I'm sure, was sore. And it was a pretty hard-hitting game for the most part. But they didn't suffer injuries like Tennessee even did in that game. And the problem with a college football teams playing, in essence, for Ohio State's got to win 4 straight games against big-time opponents to win the national championship. Really, Oregon does too, because they had to beat Penn State, which is still alive in this tournament. They had to beat Penn State to win the Big Ten championship. So, yeah, they got a bye in the first round, but they will have had to play 4 postseason games to win it all too. So, whereas Penn State will have to have played 5. But the bottom line is, it's deep a roster as Ohio State has, and I think it's the deepest I've ever covered here. I didn't say the players were better than any other players I've ever covered here. Nobody's ever been better than Orlando Pace. No. As an offensive lineman. So I want to make that clear. But from a depth standpoint, it's about as deep as I've ever seen with competent guys with ability to play. But you don't have a waiver wire. And as this season, you know, this is coming knock on wood, New Year's Day extravaganza of four games over 2 days, somebody's probably going to lose a guy and or two. So, you know, we'll see how that affects teams. Like, you can look like the best in the country a week ago, and then suddenly you've lost two guys that really matter, and you're not. So we'll see how it goes.
The legend Tim May joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tim, do you think that the Ohio State team that we saw against Tennessee is the right reflection of the Ohio State team, or is it still that team from Michigan that seemed to have their little bit of hiccups, and even during the season, that offense that occasionally had their hiccups? Have they figured it out, and they're like, what we did against Tennessee, that is the Ohio State Buckeyes?
Yeah, I mean, that's the team you expected to see from the jump this year. And dominant on offense when it has to be. Yeah, every offense has got to hit a little bit of a bump in the road, and they had to hit a little bit of a bump in the road in the second quarter against Tennessee. But, you know, there was a bizarre interception during that, or that bump in the road would have just been cleared by ODOT, you know, to go ahead and drive on. Bottom line is, you know, they had a chance to go up, 28-3 in that game, and then that weird interception happens back to the end zone. Should have been pass interference on Tennessee, but that's another story. But yeah, I mean, this was offense and defense, very talented defense, going against a team. I know SEC people, Southeastern Conference people want to hear this, a team that beat Alabama. Am I right? Beat Alabama.
How dare you?
And a team that, you know, I don't want to get into that because I get really deep into the quagmire there. And people have to understand, I grew up an Alabama fan way back when. I was born there. You were forced to be.
Exactly.
But the bottom line is, they beat Tennessee, thoroughly. And that's what you expected from this extremely talented team. Will Howard had a tremendous game, even with that, quote, interception, end quote. He had a tremendous game. The defense got after it. It would have been interesting if the roughing the passer call had not been made on Kenyatta Jackson Jr., who was coming off a block and literally had the quarterback in his arms as the quarterback, Nico Iamalieva, let go of the pass. And then Kenyatta Jackson took him to the ground, but even tried to cushion the blow if you watch it closely, as they fell to the ground. They still called roughing the passer on him. That was tough. And Jim Knowles today just basically, in essence, said in their book, that's not roughing the passer. And we'll go from there. And then I reminded him that that was an ACC crew, refereeing crew, that called that game. And guess what? There's an ACC crew calling this game. So, you know who's calling balls and strikes, right? That's key.
Absolutely.
And what are they calling the ball, and what are they calling a strike? But yeah, this team is so much better than it was in the weeks around or after the Oregon game, when they got past, in a bewildering game, got past Nebraska. But I thought this defense came of age in the fourth quarter against Nebraska and has kept growing since.
Well, and they did. It felt like especially the secondary a little bit, and that defensive line more than anything else of Jim Knowles' defense,
yep,
seemed to start being able to get some of that pressure with four. And it was like we finally woke up. We're starting to see the talent that's there, and you started seeing these guys just start playing so much better. And that Tennessee game as well, between batting the passes down and just making Nico, and we're going to end there before I embarrass myself too much further.
Nico Iamalieva.
Oh, good.
It took me 2 weeks, remember? Last time I was on,
that's
I couldn't
right.
say it, but I finally mastered it. It's kind of like learning a foreign language, you know, you're never going to use again.
Well, it's my whole life I've been told, if you can't pronounce it, just pronounce every letter, and typically you'll be okay.
No, you call him Nico.
Nico. Exactly. Well,
Nico and the man.
Nico and the man. Nico and the bunny man. So. Yeah. Anyway, they were able to get to that man, and Jack Sawyer had himself an evening on top of that one. Do you see the same thing taking place against Oregon?
I have no idea, because I thought they had – I thought going into that game against Oregon, they had a little bit of a decent plan, you know, just based on, you know, scuttlebutt, whatever. But what they did was they really left Denzel Burke on an island, as I referred to it. I think on the on my – Tim May show this week, when I've got Matt Wilhelm on. You remember Matt Wilhelm?
Yes, I do.
American linebacker, Iowa State, national championship linebacker, and played on Super Bowl winning Green Bay Packer team. But I just bumped fist with the Ty Tucker, a legend in his own mind.
Right on.
He's a tennis coach at Ohio State. You know who Ty Tucker is.
I do.
But two things. Denzel was maybe a little too aggressive than he needed to be. And then number two, he had no help over the top. So that exacerbated things. And I think they've really come to grips with that. I mean, you know, Matt Wilhelm was talking about just the level that the defense played on against Tennessee. And really, except for one drive against Michigan, you know, they gave up 13 points. But you know what? When your team scores zero and the other team scores 3 points in the second half, then you get beat, right, when the game was tied at halftime. But the bottom line is this defense is playing on you can see it. It's like I keep saying different level, but everybody's pretty charged up, but they're under control. And when you got two safeties, and really three, counting Jordan Hancock, but when you got two safeties, the caliber of Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom, who are almost erasers out there from the standpoint of not letting a play turning into a big play, and then sometimes blowing up a play when it looks promising and making it a negative play, you know, you've really got something going on.
All right, you heading to Pasadena, or are you staying home?
My flight leaves at 9:30 tonight, flying to Vegas, and then driving up there tomorrow to Los Angeles. Actually, the media and both teams are headquartered in downtown L.A. for some reason, but that's the way the Rose Bowl has been for a while now.
I'm jealous, buddy. Enjoy the sunshine. No, enjoy the nice weather.
My flight times keep getting the updates from the airline about how they keep changing. And started at 7 this morning, and we'll see if I actually have a plane to get on to go to California or to go to Las Vegas.
Well, if not, buddy, fire up the Trans Am and get going.
There you go, man.
That's how we do it.
Believe me, don't think that has not happened before.
it's a beautiful drive once you get past Kansas.
I used to cover the Bengals and the Browns back in the late 70s, early 80s. That was back when the speed limit was 55.
Oh.
And I told my wife one time I found a new way to go to Cincinnati. She goes, what? I said, 75 miles an hour.
Perfect. All right, brother. Yeah. Happy New Year to you. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure, brother. See you next Friday.
Take care.